Please turn with me to our main scripture text, to Luke chapter 10. We'll read verses 17 through 20. This is after the disciples returned from going out and performing wonderful things in the name of the Lord. And here we have in verse 17, it says, "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And he said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with us now as we hear your word, and as the word is preached, give strength to the preacher and ears to the hearer, we pray. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I assumed that when I put this title in the bulletin that I would have many of you theologians speaking to me, but none of you did, because the title of the sermon is totally theologically incorrect. I don't know if you can figure out why it's incorrect. The main reason it's incorrect is because it's not our salvation. We cannot rejoice in our salvation because it is not ours. It is God's salvation that we rejoice in, and it has nothing to do with us. In Psalm 9, we read, "Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me, you who lift me up from the gates of death, that I might tell of all your praise. In the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in your salvation." We cannot rejoice in a salvation that has anything to do with us. We cannot praise God for his glorious grace if we have the idea that we have any part in it. For if salvation has the smallest part due us, we're in pretty grave danger. And we should be living in fear. For anything that we touch as fallen creatures is subject to failure and corruption. For only perfect love casts out fear. Fear of condemnation, perhaps fear of a creator who doesn't do things for our good. If it is not fully and completely God's salvation because he first loved us before the foundation of the world, then there is no basis for rejoicing, but only fear of an eternity in hell. For if it is our salvation in any sense due to our decision, our action, or anything to do with us, then we are in deep trouble. For then the basis of our salvation is not perfect love, the perfect love of God, which never fails, never changes, but is based on the creature who has no power to save, but only sin and misery to offer. One preacher said it rightly, that is only when we look unto Jesus alone and ourself is crucified in our own hearts that we can rightly understand the depth of his love. Notice I'll have a quote here that I'd like to share with you, that it starts with pain and sorrow and grows into an understanding of his mercy and his great, deep, deep love for us. It says, "Oh, the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be when I proudly said to Jesus, 'All for self and none for thee.' Yet he found me. I beheld him bleeding on the accursed tree, and my wistful heart said faintly, 'Some for me and some for thee.' Day by day, his tender mercy, healing, helping, full and free, brought me lower while I whispered, 'Less for me and more for thee.' Higher than the highest heavens, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, thy love at last has conquered. None for me and all for thee." These are the words that we need to ponder. And I'd like to just ponder for a minute. Michael, do you have those words that you can put up on the screen for me? One of my favorite hymns. I think it's important for us because without this, we really can't rejoice in the God of our salvation and his salvation that he brought to us. We many times sing it. I don't know about you, but when I sing hymns sometimes, I don't really pay attention to the words. I don't know if you're like me sometimes. I just sing them, right? They don't mean anything to me because I'm so caught up in the music and singing. Let's read it. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Underneath me, all around me, is the current of thy love, leading onward, leading homeward to thy glorious rest above. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, spread his praise from shore to shore. How he loveth, ever loveth, changes never, never more. How he watches o'er his loved ones, died to call them all his own. How for them he intercedeth, watcheth o'er them from the throne. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, love of every love the best. 'Tis an ocean vast of blessing. 'Tis a haven sweet of rest. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. 'Tis a heaven of heavens to me, and it lifts me up to glory, for it lifts me up to thee. These are the words to ponder about the amazing, incredible love of God to bring to us his salvation. It is when we are fully conquered by this love of Christ for us individually and as a church, can we fully rejoice in God's salvation. As the hymn said, his love brings us up to heaven, lifts us up to glory, and lifts us up to our Redeemer and friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we're commanded to rejoice always, for we were kept forevermore. And why the psalmist says he will tell all of the Lord's praises to his people, the true Israel, the daughter of Zion, and he will rejoice in the psalm we read in the Lord's salvation. It is totally and fully God's salvation, which comes by the word of God alone, by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. In Christ and his work on our behalf, we have the full satisfaction for our souls, and we should rejoice because our souls are fully satisfied in him. So in order to rejoice, though, in God's salvation, as we read about the deep love of Christ, we must be able to rejoice in the God of our salvation. In Psalm 89, the psalmist contemplates the mercy and grace of the Lord and his everlasting covenant, as we read even in this hymn, has with his chosen people and the promise of eternal salvation to and through the seed of David. Verse 3 says, I have made a covenant with my chosen, I have sworn to my servant David, your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. And he goes on to say, in your name they rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted, for you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn is exalted, for our shield, all we have belongs to the Lord, and our King is the Holy One of Israel. Are we not able to rejoice in such a Savior who loves us, cares for us, and will never leave us or forsake us? And as we rejoice in this wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus, we can rejoice in his eternal salvation. For while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is why the Apostle Paul can exalt in Ephesians chapter 1 and give us every reason to rejoice. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Jesus Christ. Why? Because he chose us in Christ before time began, so that we would be holy and blameless in his sight, and it would be in love that he did so.
Why? Because it was the good pleasure of his will, and his will alone. He predestined us to be adopted as sons and daughters by his Son, Jesus Christ. He did not look down the corridors of time and see how you would accept him, he willed you into his family by his love, which he accomplished through his own Son. Looking at you, all of you, and looking at me, I can't help but wonder why he would choose us. Well, maybe he might choose you, but he wouldn't choose me. I had a conversation with my wife on the way here, and somebody says, nobody's perfect. And I said, well, we've been married 40 years. I guess my wife figured that out. But he did. He did choose you. He did choose me to the praise of his glorious grace. And he made us accepted in the beloved, in his Son, Jesus Christ. Where are you and me in this whole thing, in this whole work? Nowhere. We were without hope. But God, according to the riches of his grace, gave his Son to die as the Passover lamb, so that in Christ we would have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of all of our sin. We need to hear this gospel over and over and over again. We are commanded to rejoice always. Unless we know this God of our salvation and what he has given to us, we cannot rejoice. Can you rejoice in this reality? Can you, with the hymn writer, sing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me, bless his holy name. For he has done great things. Bless his holy name." Comes from Psalm 103, where David continues, and he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Remember this morning, in Pilgrim's Progress, said, what happens when you forget your seal? When Christian forgot his seal, Christiana forgot her vial of spirits. We need never forget what the Lord God has done for us in Christ. We need never forget that we are to rejoice in the salvation that God has done for us. Nothing to do with you, nothing to do with me. He says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you. Remember we heard this morning about that crown over the muck, guy who does all the mucking. The crown is sitting there. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. But you cannot rejoice in God's salvation unless you have a personal knowledge of this salvation. Having been convicted of your own sin, been given eyes to see your guilty state before the Lord, you must understand that Jesus came into this world to save sinners, to save you, a sinner. And you are in need, young people, old people, you're in need of this forgiveness. The Apostle Paul came to know that he was, in fact, the chief of sinners because of what he had done against the church of Christ. But only after his eyes were opened to this sin by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to have your eyes open to your sin. You need to understand that even the worst of sinners can receive eternal life by God's gift of repentance. It's free, requires no money, and has no price tag. It has been paid for. It has been totally paid for by Christ. To rejoice, you must understand that you're helpless to save yourself. For all that are under my voice tonight, you are helpless to save yourself from eternal damnation, and only Christ can save you from your sin and guilt. In summary, to rejoice, you need to be saved. You cannot rejoice unless you're saved, unless the Spirit of God is in you and you can rejoice with the God of your salvation. A person rejoices when our judge commutes a sentence. I rejoice, judge, I'm out of here, I want to get out. A person in great debt rejoices when his debt is forgiven. The Philippian jailer in Acts 16 believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved that very hour. And then he had Paul and Silas at his house, and he put food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with his whole household. He rejoiced in the God of his salvation. You must be saved and know from what you are saved: the guilt and the power of sin, the condemnation of sin, the everlasting torment in hell, reserved for those who reject Christ because they refuse to flee to Christ for mercy and grace. Do you refuse to flee tonight to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been saved? If you have, you know all these things that I just described, and you can and you must rejoice. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, "Rejoice always." To rejoice is to be thankful, to be exceedingly glad. How many of us are exceedingly glad about what God has done for us in Christ? For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. You want to know what the will of God is? It says, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." This is the joy. This is the joy of the Holy Spirit. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is why we're commanded to rejoice. We have the Spirit of God living inside of us. We have the seal of eternal salvation. We already are. We've been chosen, predestined, called, and now we are glorified. We will be glorified. It is a promise, and that seal is there. And joy and rejoicing is ours to experience, not just from emotion. I say not just from emotion because God's salvation is emotional. I know that when I was saved, boy, I was really emotional. I went down telling everybody. Of course, they didn't want to hear anything I said. But I was telling everybody, all of a sudden, as I grow in my Christian life, where's my rejoicing? Where do people see that I'm rejoicing in the God of my salvation? They don't have anything to rejoice about. They have no hope. We have the greatest hope that's ever been given to mankind: the hope of eternal salvation. That's not a hope that's a maybe hope. That's a guaranteed hope. Do they see the hope that is in us, that we can share the hope that is in us? Dare I say that it is from the very heart of God, his amazing love, which must have some emotion, as we would understand perfect love. He has perfect love for us, perfect, everlasting love for us. He loves us who are so insignificant that he compares us to the dust on a scale. Do you ever try to measure the dust on a scale? You ever try to weigh it? It's so insignificant, so meaningless. And yet, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to whoever believe, whosoever would believe on him would have eternal life. Yet he chose to love you and me, to adopt us into his family, and he promises to take us home to be with him in glory. We love him because of his great love for us in sending his Son and pouring his wrath upon his bleeding Son, the wrath of hell that we deserve, but we will never experience. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He drank every drop of the Father's wrath for us. Can this not produce joy and rejoicing in the midst of trials? Christian, are you going through trials and not rejoicing? We can learn from Pilgrim's Progress a lot as we've been going through the Pilgrim's Progress about all of the trials that both Christian and hopeful and faithful and now Christiana and the sons all go through. And yet, There are times when they just are so filled with rejoicing in this God of their salvation and what he has done for them and brought them, and they need to, but if they forget, they lose that rejoicing. Let us not forget. Let us not leave our seal. Let us not forget it. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. They both lost it. They forgot all his benefits. They forgot all he had promised. And his salvation. This salvation was about his abundant mercy. It was about raising Christ from the dead to a living hope. And Peter, that we went through with Pastor Doug, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to an inheritance that can never perish, will always be undefiled and will never fade away. It is reserved in heaven for you. Because you're protected not by your own strength, not by anything you can do, but by the power of God through faith. And this salvation, which you now stand, has all the benefits and promises, is ready to be revealed at the coming of Christ. Can you say with the Apostle Peter, in this you greatly rejoice? Not in anything that is in this world, but you rejoice in this, in God's eternal salvation, even though now, for a little while, we need to suffer and endure trials. And the purpose of those sufferings is to prove your faith and to keep you focused upon what God has done for you in Christ. Being more precious than gold, your faith is more precious than gold. We heard that. Hold on to your faith. We heard that today. What the older men and older women and all of us should be, to hold on to our faith, to hold on to it securely, not to let it go, and to be steadfast about our faith, because it's more precious than gold, which is perishable. And even though it be tested by fire, your faith may be found to be to the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him by faith, you greatly rejoice. You're commanded to greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. For you now have obtained the outcome of your faith. You have now eternal life. Now, in the present, right now. There are several things, as I heard a quote from, I can't remember where I actually got it, but it was wonderful and has a lot to do with what we're speaking about tonight. I'm not going to be long in this sermon because I want us to meditate upon what God has done for us. I want us to meditate on the love of God for each one of us. I want us to meditate and rejoice in the God of our salvation. We have things, according to Hebrews, which cannot be shaken. And you need to think of those things which cannot be shaken, which cannot be taken away. You may derive real comfort from things that can be shaken, but whatever your losses may be, whatever your cross is, whatever you are involved with right now, you can enjoy your present salvation. You are standing at the foot of his cross, trusting alone in the merit of Christ, nothing to do with you, in the merit of Christ's precious blood that you can trust in. And no rise or fall in the economy, no rise and fall of kingdoms in this world can interfere with your salvation in Christ today. No breaking. Remember, the banks almost failed. We thought everything was going to go. Doesn't matter. We're in Christ. If we're in Christ, we have eternal security. No bankruptcies can harm us. Then you are a child of God this evening. God is your Father. No change of circumstances can ever rob you of that. Although by losses, by poverty, you can say, he is still my Father. In my Father's house are many mansions. Therefore, I will not be troubled. You have another blessing, which we've described in great detail, namely, the love of Jesus Christ. He who is God and man loves you with all the strength of his affectionate nature. Nothing can affect the love of God that he has for you. The fig tree may not blossom, and the flocks may cease from the field. It matters not to the man who can sing, "My beloved is mine, and I am his." Our best portion and our richest inheritance we can't lose. Whatever troubles you tonight, let us be strong. Let us be steadfast in the love of Christ. And let us not be cast down for what happens to us in this world of ours. We need to encourage one another to look to the love, the deep, deep love of Christ. That is our application. To look to the deep, deep love of Jesus for you and for me. Nothing can change that. Our country is Emmanuel's land. Our hope is above. We will see everything destroyed at some point, but we can rejoice in the God of our salvation. May God grant you tonight the vision and the knowledge of the truth of this salvation. We can't say any more than what God has already said, that he loves us with an everlasting love. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And his eternal life is a gift that can never be taken away. Let us pray and let us rejoice in this God of our salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your gift. We pray, Lord, that you would help us as individuals and as a church. We pray that you would help us to see with a clear vision what Paul had seen when he wrote Ephesians and he spoke of all the amazing blessings that you have given to us in Christ. None of it had anything to do with us. We are not anywhere in that scripture. It is all about what you have done, God and Father and Lord Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit. We thank you tonight. We pray that you would help us to enter in to this amazing love that you have for us. And let us repent of not rejoicing. Let us repent of our sin, of not looking to you, Lord, and looking to ourselves. Let us repent of not having our identity in you, Jesus Christ, that we have our identity in so many different things. We have identity in our gifts. We have our identity in our jobs. We have identity in our families. We have identity in everything many times except for you. Lord Jesus, help us. As Peter, when he had his identity in his pride and he would not fall, and let us not have the identity other than the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that he has given to us. I pray, Lord, you would help us this night, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.